Well, hello and welcome to today's episode of Q on Q. I'm so honored that you've decided to join me and listen to our podcast today. Whether you tuned in to episode one and you're a return listener, or whether you're listening for the first time, I just wanted to say welcome. Here at Q on Q, I look forward to talking with you, sharing with you, and hopefully inspiring you just a little bit in the days and weeks to come. I would be completely remiss if I didn't first say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Our first episode launched just about a week ago and has received some great response and great feedback, with listeners literally all over the country downloading and streaming and tuning in. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're returning, listening to this after hearing episode one, thank you for coming back. I guess I didn't scare you off. And for those of you that are tuned in for the first time, go back and take a listen to episode one, a little bit about the things that have inspired me in life. I've loved the feedback that I've received, from the ways my words may have inspired you, ways that you thought about identifying things in your own lives, and some of the very specific examples people gave of music and how it inspired you. Songs people submitted ranged everything from worship music to singer-songwriters of the 60s to Jack's Mannequin, even. So I loved hearing from all of you, and I hope that we can keep the conversation going. So just about a month ago, we rolled the calendar over to a new year, the start of 2021. And seeing January 1st on the calendar is usually synonymous with three things: pork at midnight, which was delicious as always this year, new beginnings, and New Year's resolutions. So let's be honest. How many of you out there made one or several resolutions for the new year? Okay. Now, how many of you have broken them? In an article several years ago, I recall reading, the New York Post reported that at least half of people make New Year's resolutions about health or exercise. And the next number after that, I think, was something financial related. But I've seen other studies that have also said that as few as 8 to 10% of people actually stick with their resolutions by the time the year comes to an end, with, you know, two-thirds of them having really given up by the time the first month is even over. So why do we make resolutions? Well, it's something that really isn't a totally new concept. I did a little research on this, and on history.com, it says that New Year's resolutions have been around for thousands of years, with proof found that, you know, civilizations of the past celebrated New Year's and would make promises they believed would bring them favor. You know, even in the history of the church, moving into the new year is a time that is often touted as a chance to have a fresh start or a new beginning. In the 18th century, John Wesley created something called a covenant renewal service, which was most commonly held on New Year's Eve in London and celebrated with Wesley as he would travel and hold services. These were also called watch night services and often served as a spiritual alternative to New Year's Eve parties or other celebrations to ring in the new year. Well, despite the best of intentions, once the glow of the fresh new year wears off, many people, including myself, struggle to make good on their resolutions. There's also people who just choose not to make resolutions, but instead maybe make a specific goal or a visioning board or something along those lines. So why do we set resolutions? What causes us to fail when we have so much intensity and focus on them at the start of the year? You know, any of you that have had exercise resolutions, and maybe the first day, the second day, the third day, you are gung-ho to go to the gym, watch what you're eating, and all that good stuff. And then by the time the fourth day comes around, it becomes a chore. And then, you know, it's just something that you don't really want to do anymore. Well, why do we lose that drive and intensity? Well, there might be a few reasons. First, you know, changing habits is not an easy task. So before diving headfirst into a New Year's resolution or goal, it's important to really take a step back. Oftentimes, we seek change because we're unhappy with a situation or a circumstance. But what causes us to be in that situation or circumstance, and what can we do to change it? When I think about a new year starting, I always like to reflect back on the year that passed before I make any statements or goals or things for the new year. The truth is, at midnight on January 1st, you are the exact same person you were at 11:59 on December 31st, unless you choose to change. So what could be a catalyst to help propel us forward? Well, first, we tend to often fail at resolutions because we think we know what's best for us. The truth is that God has a unique plan for each of our lives, how we spend our time, the people we interact with, our talents, our treasures, and even our lifestyle. If we aren't earnestly seeking the path He has for us, I feel like there's going to be a constant battle between peace and feeling unsettled, always wondering, really, who we need to please and when. But a lot of our issues, I think, are with the fact that we overthink what New Year's resolutions could be and how they can impact us. Oftentimes, the things we want or need to change have common bonds. Often, one or two things we do really create ripple effects on everything else. For example, stress could cause us to overeat, be angry, and maybe be disappointed. The question is, how can we move beyond the cycle of continued resolution disappointments and instead get to the root of what we really need to change? Well, several years ago, I was introduced to a concept of, instead of making resolutions for the year and planning out a bunch of things that I wanted to change, narrowing it down to one concept. And I've done that through the focus of one word. The premise is pretty simple. You lose the long list of changes that you want to make and instead pick one thing to focus on. The process provides clarity by taking all your big plans for changing your life and narrowing them down into one singular focus. And you know, having that one focus allows you to center on the character or behavioral change you really want to seek and allows you to craft a vision for your year and the years to come. And I want to share with you a little today about how much doing this has meant to me and how you too can pick one focus for your life in the new year. For me, it began New Year's Eve 2018. A devotional I was doing shared the verse in Proverbs 29:18, where it says, "Where there's no revelation," or some translations say vision, "people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction." And boy, did that hit home for me. As I was thinking about the things I needed to really change in the new year, I realized I needed to move forward with vision, not regret. Without a vision of who we want to be, we become unfocused. Regret keeps you attached to things of the past, your old character, things that may have haunted you from before, while vision helps you craft who you are called to be and what steps you need to take to get there. Now, I've always been a goal maker. From clear back in college, I was keeping a list of things I needed to do and things I wanted to accomplish. And, you know, that really hasn't changed even today. I like to make goals for each day, goals for weeks, goals for months. But I often found that my goals had a certain element of disconnect. So what caused that? Well, as I was thinking about what 2018 was going to look like, getting back to that story. By the way, I knew full well that making plans for the whole year seemed foolish when you look at a year like 2020. But that verse really started to hit home. Why was I making the choices I was making? Why were we doing the things we were doing? Was I really looking for direction, verification, and signs from God's word before making important life decisions? You know, I said I could answer yes to all those, but the truth was, I wasn't. And as human beings, we don't 100% of the time. But I knew I could do better. I knew there had to be a way for me to, quote, connect the dots. So I looked for a way to find a singular focus, an umbrella, for me to cast a vision for the year. So how I did that was to use resources to help me craft one word to be my focus for that year. One word that could remind me of things I needed to change, to remind me of the person I was supposed to be and who God called me to be and what He called me to do. So how did I go about picking it? Well, first I asked myself, what kind of person did I want to be? The old saying says you can tell a lot about a person from their calendar and their checkbook. And answering this question goes way beyond being healthier or having more money. It goes into the soul and into the heart. And think about this. What about who God created you to be? What should that person look like? So I began to think about it and pray about it. Who have I been called to be? From that, a whole bunch of words and phrases came to me, and you know, I very clearly started to see a connection. All the puzzle pieces fell in place very quickly for me. I started to see that some of the terms could be lumped together and maybe have like a heading to fall under. So I would narrow the list down and kind of see which ones would go together and cross-reference terms in the scriptures and see what went together. And in the whole process, the most important thing I found was to pray for clarity of thought and mind as you think about your list, because the implication of each on your life is huge. And then see if one begins to stand out. For me, it did. And once you have your word, figure out how it applies to your life and what changes you desire to make. And then plaster that word everywhere. Write it in big letters. Print it out. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it inside your Bible, in your wallet, on your desk at work, in your bathroom mirror, the TV remote, anywhere. Put it on your home screen or your phone. Someplace you will be reminded constantly as to what your word is. Resolutions don't often work out because they're based on the type of person we're tired of being rather than who we're called to become. Listen to that again. Resolutions often don't work out because they're based on the type of person we're tired of being rather than who we're called to become. Change is possible, but to truly change, it requires focus. We're all busy. Our calendars have us doing 1,000 different things 1,000 different times a day. I found that having a single word and having it placed everywhere as a reminder helped me concentrate and focus my efforts. And it can do that for you too. And when you focus on your word over time, you position yourself for true character change. They say that if you do something for 21 days or more, it becomes a habit. So make your word part of your daily prayers and conversations, and that helps you position yourself to have your character formed at a deep level and into something that can truly be sustainable. In no way am I saying this is easy. It's a lot easier said than it is done. You may and probably will fall off the quote one word wagon at some point. And if you do, climb back on. When you climb back on, do so with a renewed commitment and new energy. Again, I said it, I know it's easier said than done, but you have already made strides and have a launching pad to move forward even further in your growth. We should always want to be the best versions of ourselves. If you've had trouble keeping resolutions, or even if you haven't and you're looking for a life focus or some motivation to change, I'd encourage you to consider picking one word for 2021. I know we're into February, but it is not too late to have a focus for this year. In the past, my words have been genuine, trust, and create. Genuine, when I really, really, truly felt that I needed to be an honest version of myself at all times. Trust, when I needed to trust what God had in store for me, even though I didn't understand and even though sometimes it seemed like things were just really, really out of control. And create. I've used that word to remind me that God has given me a gift and put me here for a purpose. And I need to use that to remind myself of that. Which leads me to my word for 2021. My word for this year, after much prayerful consideration, is the word purpose. The year 2020 provided me with deeper relationships, increased professional opportunities, growth in worship, and certainly lots of creative insight. So my focus in 2021 is going to be to make sure that my words, my actions, my time, my money, and my artistic creations are all done with purpose. So I want to finish up today by reading to you something that I wrote at the end of 2018, after I did my first year focusing on one word as a vision for the year. This is what I wrote December 31st, 2018. Looking back on 2018, I'm in awe at how focus on one thing provided clarity and direction in so many others. I tried this year to be honest and real with myself and with others. I've lost touch with some people, and I've made connections with new ones. I've been recognized for many efforts in the classroom, and I've learned that there are many ways in which I continue to grow. There's been change I've embraced, change I've resisted, but I'm learning to be open to. I've prayed for several weeks about what my word for 2019 will be, and though it's not 100% clear to me as of yet, I trust it will have as much impact on me as the word genuine did in 2018. So, What's your word for 2021? I have something new for you all this week. I put together a little note guide to follow along with some of the things I mentioned today to help you craft your word for 2021. You can find it and download it for free right now at our website, which is qonq.com. Again, that's the letter Q, the word on, and then the word Q. qonqueue.com. I hope it's a helpful resource for you to use in the coming week as you reflect upon some of the things we've talked about today. If you've already picked a word for 2021 or you're working on developing one this week and have decided to join me on this journey, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you're thinking about, your journey as you pick the word, and your experiences as you're living out that word this year. Love to know what your word is and how you've seen it help you in your life. So drop me a note. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at QueryPro or through BrianQuery.com or our podcast website, QonQ.com. I'd love to hear the impact this has had on you and walk this journey alongside you during 2021. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for supporting this adventure. Next time, we're going to be talking about love, just in time for Valentine's Day. Why it's so important, how love has impacted me in ways that I never could have imagined, and ways we've seen it work throughout time, and much more. I really do appreciate you taking time to tune in. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you back here next time when we'll have more for you on Cue.